What is the prophetic future for America? Prophecy is not just learning who will be elected. It's a spiritual battle. And my guest today says we're in a battle for the soul of America. She says we're in dire straits, which has prophetic significance. My guest on the Strang Report today is Amanda Grace of the Ark of Grace podcast, where she shares her prophetic insights. She calls this moment in America a Lazarus moment, where America is being called out of the tomb. She also talks about the significance of Kamala Harris picking Tim Walz as her running mate. And she tells about a dream she had in 2021 about President Biden dying in bed. We discuss historical times when God came through, and she tells us how to pray for renewal and revival. You don't want to miss my exclusive interview with Amanda Grace. I'm Stephen Strang. Stay tuned. Welcome back and welcome to Amanda Grace. Thank you for taking time. You've got your own very popular podcast, which I subscribe to, and you share these words from the Lord, and you've been on my podcast several times, and you always have a fresh word. And in light of everything that's happening, particularly with Kamala Harris getting enough delegates to get the nomination and now picking her vice president pick, what do you feel is happening now? What is the Lord saying? And before this podcast is over, we need to talk about how people can pray and believe God.
Well, thank you for having me back, Mr. Steve. I'm very happy to be back with you. And it has definitely been, this has been a very interesting time for sure. And something interesting about what you just said. So talking about Kamala Harris and her pick for VP, I want to show you guys something, and then I'll give you some scripture. But we are at a point in the Jewish calendar right now that is called the Dire Straits. And it's
what does that mean?
Okay, so the Dire Straits starts on the 17th of Tammuz, which was July 23rd this year, 2024, and culminates and ends on the 9th of Av, which would be August 12th this year, beginning August 12th, 2024. The 9th of Av is when the Jews were expelled from Spain, England, when World War I began, when the spies came back with a bad report. It's a very serious time. But the three-week period between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av is known as the Dire Straits. And when something is in dire straits, it's an emergency. That's the term we use when we use dire straits now in today's society. And so all of this happening, Kamala getting enough virtual delegates or whatever they did, and her picking this Tim Walz, who is past Bernie Sanders, right, on the progressive scale. And as well, some of these other events we see happening, this other plot they just unearthed to assassinate Donald Trump, and with a Pakistani, that just breaking news in the past couple of days. This is all happening within the time of dire straits.
That's interesting. So what do you think is going to be happening up until at the end of this three-week period? Do you think there's going to be more big news? Of course, the stock market has plummeted. I don't know that it's really a crash, but it's plummeted. Now all these other things are happening. What is the Lord showing you?
Okay, so I'm finding it for you because I had a dream about this with the stock market. And this dream was 2021, I believe this dream was. It was October 6th, 2021, the dream that I had. And this was the dream. This has to do with the stock market. This has to do with what's happening now. So it was dark outside. And I was going into what looked to be some sort of house that was a business. And for some reason, my husband's uncle was there. And probably because he's in the stock market a lot, and he also worked for one of the bigger drug companies. So he's there. And what happens is there are TV screens in this place, what appeared to be reporting on Wall Street and the stock market. There were multiple TV screens. And there were men there in these TV screens or near them, and it appeared that they may have been doing some sort of stock transaction. So there were men near the TV screens, besides Chris's uncle, that were doing stock transactions. Normal, going as normal. And then suddenly in gold, the words urgent, all capitals flashing across the screen, and these men started getting tense because stocks were plummeting. Stocks were absolutely plummeting, and they kept on reporting the numbers going lower and lower and lower, and urgent and gold letters kept flashing across the screen. So this is back October 2021.
So what's the significance now, 3 years later?
Well, significance is the Japanese stock market did crash in the period of dire straits. So this did happen, which triggered what we see happening now in the United States stock market, as well as Kamala Harris being named the presumptive nominee. That's when stocks started plummeting as well. Trump actually named it the Kamala crash. Donald Trump actually called it the Kamala crash, because when she was named this, all of a sudden, which I'm going to tie this to something for you. So her name, the irony of it crashing when she's named the presumptive nominee is this. Her name means Lotus Goddess. That's what her name means. The Lotus Goddess in Hinduism, the false goddess, her name is Lakshmi, and she's supposed to be the goddess of wealth and fortune. And this is what Kamala is named after, and then she's named the presumptive nominee, and the stock market plummets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, right?
It is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Have we ever had a nominee for a national political party nominated without a vote? I mean, this, you know, the irony to me, Amanda, is that the Democrats say that Donald Trump wants to do away with democracy. But what was it? 14 million people voted for Joe Biden to be the nominee, and now he's not. And Kamala Harris, who's a presumptive nominee, has received zero delegates on her own. So what do you make of that?
Well, this is the bait and switch that the Lord had showed me was going to happen back in 2022. I had prophesied that in a word from the Lord that there was going to be a bait and switch, and the Lord said it twice. He also had said that four leaders had met in private and they discussed a leader swap. And so this is what was seen back then. This is what's happening now. This definitely is a bait and switch. And this is what we are watching happening right before our very eyes. Now, the danger of this is that the Democratic Party ousted their own nominee before the world. They ousted their own nominee, put Kamala in, and then selected as VP an older white man. This is who they select as VP, which is similar to who they just ousted. So it looks to me like confusion, first of all, is breaking out in their camp. Will the Lord confuse the camp of the enemy? Yes. Will he put poor counsel in the mouth of their advisors? Yes, there is scriptural evidence for this. He will very much do these things. And we are watching this unfold real time. Now, this plan was in place years ago. This plan was in place before Joe Biden took office. Make no mistake about this. They had this plan all ready to go just in case of anything. And after what happened, if you notice, 6 days after, no, 7 days after the assassination attempt on President Trump, Joe Biden steps down. 7 days exactly after that, he steps down and this bait and switch goes into full motion.
So how are we as spirit-filled Christians who are trying to follow the Lord, mm-hmm. trying to be good citizens, first of all, understand this, especially with the prophetic, which as a Christian journalist, I've been covering this for years. And there's, you know, several different things that people take. First of all, the world kind of ignores the prophetic entirely. They just do. They don't know about it. If they hear about it, they just think it's weird.
Yeah.
Then you have a lot of Christians who don't believe it. Then there are a lot of Christians who just don't pay any attention. Other Christians want it to be like a fortune teller. They want to know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, almost like somebody would read tea leaves. Well, that's not scriptural at all. No. But like, for example, in a political race, if a prophet says they're going to win, they almost become complacent and say, well, the Lord has it under control and I don't need to do anything. This is what happened, I think, in 2020, where a lot of prophets prophesied that Donald Trump would win. And I think there's huge reason to be skeptical about the results of that mm-hmm. election. But at this point, it's absolutely moot. He didn't get into office. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And there were a lot of prophets who kind of jumped on the bandwagon. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I'm trying. No, almost no one now is predicting who's going to win. Some people are feeling led, and it does seem that the Lord saved Donald Trump for a reason.
Yes.
And we're praying that the country will turn. And if it doesn't turn, we can expect things to just get worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And even if Donald Trump gets in, remember how the other side just went crazy when he won in 2016?
Yes.
Just imagine what will happen if it happens this time.
Well, I had said months and months and months ago, one of the things I said that this was going to be a nail biter to the very end. This is going to be a nail biter. This is really going to be a tug of war and a back and forth to the very end. But I did say, if you think Donald Trump's going to get in office and everything's going to be hunky-dory, think again. Because there's going to be a lot of angry people that happens. And they're going to try to, what are they going to try to do? Crash markets, you know, cause fear, you know, cause things to happen within the nation, shortages, things of that nature, all to try, right, to rip the rug out from under him. So we have to prepare for that now as believers. You know, we're watching a political backdraft in progress happen. And, you know, from the stage of Reawaken America on June 8th, 2024, I prophesied this. This was over a month before what we saw unfold. And we are watching a political backdraft occur. And when that happens, a backdraft happens, there's a lot of damage. There's an explosion, right? It's messy. That's what we're watching happen right now.
Well, you know, the Democrats use the term that Donald Trump means an end to democracy. You know, they're using the word democracy mm-hmm. to be their version of democracy, which I'm going to use the term wokeness just as a shorthand way to say it. And Donald Trump will bring an end to that. But people misuse, especially totalitarian people. In fact, you may not know this, but I've been to Russia several times, especially around the fall of communism, and found out that in Russian, the word for peace is the same word as world, is mirror. That's the word in Russian. In fact, we hear the mirror space station and so forth. So when the Russians said they wanted mirror, peace, mm-hmm. really they were saying they wanted the world, which was domination. I mean, it's kind of a play on words, of course. And I think in a somewhat similar way, the woke left define democracy as their version of democracy. And, you know, we're praying that the Lord is going to uphold righteousness. And it's not to have one political party in power over another. It's so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives like the Lord says. And so we can have freedom of religion so that we don't have to live under totalitarianism. And we saw a foreshadowing of this with COVID, where we saw how quickly the left-leaning governors were to take away our rights. Now, there were other governors, like my governor down here in the state of Florida. We didn't have that at all. In fact, we call it the free state of Florida. But I'm interested in what you have to say, because these things are complicated. And it's not just a matter of believing that a prophet is of God. And so whatever this prophet says, whether it's you or Chuck Pierce, who I interviewed yesterday.
Hi, Mr. Chuck.
He's a wonderful man of God, and his name just came to my mind. But I'm wanting to give you an opportunity to help me and help my viewers understand what's going on, because I think that that is really the place of the prophetic, not predicting so much. In fact, when it's predictive, a lot of times that's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that the Lord is showing something.
Yes.
But how can we understand the prophetic, even to know what's really of God, what's not of God, or maybe what's just at a human level, is the person calling themselves a prophet flapping their gums?
Okay, so first of all, prophecy is a prescription for scripture. That's what it is. Prophecy is a prescription to bring people back to the scriptures. And get, this is your real soul food, by the way. I understand fried chicken and grits are amazing, but this is your real soul food, everybody, right?
That's well said.
So that's what it is. And it's meant to point people back to the Lord, right? We're just vessels. We are fallible vessels that the Lord in his mercy puts us on the potter's wheel, and he fills us and he molds us. And then that vessel that's molded now gets filled. And there's the gift of prophecy, and then there's the prophetic office, right? And people can operate in the gift of prophecy. And then you have the prophetic office, which is very heavy. It is a very heavy call. You're taken out deeper with the Lord. In this season, and I had started saying this about a year and a half ago or so, that the Lord was calling the prophetic out deeper. And those that didn't want to go were going to find themselves left in a shallow puddle of nothingness. Because this is the dividing line in the prophetic that we see happening right now. God is calling us out deeper. He's calling us out into the deep. And in deep waters, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure in deep waters. And so we're watching this happen. And in the prophetic, things that are said are weighty many times. They are weighty. God doesn't sound like us. God does not sound like an Italian from the Bronx, New York. I can assure you he doesn't. He's got his own sentence structure, the way he looks at things, the way he says things. So when I'm prophesying from the Lord, it sounds completely different than the way Amanda Grace would say something, because we're different, right? I'm his daughter. He's my father in heaven. He says things differently than I in my flesh would say them. And so that's another thing for people to weigh in the prophetic when they're listening to words. I'm very careful when I put out a word. I really wait on the Lord for it, because when you get in the habit of constantly putting out words, and I don't mean like, you know, once a week. I'm sort of like constantly putting them out. Your flesh will get involved at some point. Your flesh will trip you up. It will happen. So you have to really wait on the Lord with that. And then you have to test the word. We have to test the spirit on it. Though we have to. That's biblical. So when the word is put out as the body, you have to test the spirit and pray about it and watch how it unfolds.
Oh, that's good information and good wisdom. How can people pray? I'd mentioned that before, but And do you believe that the Lord, you know, there's examples in the Bible, even the story about Hezekiah, mm-hmm. one that's very well known if you are a student of the Bible at all, where the Lord actually changed his mind. And there's other examples too. And, you know, I believe that some of us pray what our will is, you know, what we would do if we were God, and we want God to go along with it. Of course, I don't want to pray that way. I believe that is actually a trap of the devil to get us off base. Yeah. But how should we pray? And maybe I should ask you how you are praying so that we can learn from your own experience.
Okay, so how I'm praying for the nation right now especially is, first of all, when I go before the throne of God, I acknowledge that he had to give the greatest sacrifice, his son Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, and to purchase us by the shedding of his own blood. And I honor that before the Lord with praise before I bring a request to him, because he made an enormous sacrifice for us. We can't forget that. Many times I start with that. And then when I go to intercede the nation, because of the nation, God is the righteous judge, right? He holds court. He sits on the highest throne. It's like you're bringing a case before the judge. Before the righteous judge, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the earth is his footstool. And there are instructions in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 on what a people and a nation are to do that find themselves in the circumstance that we find ourselves in today. And he says, if my people, who are called by my name, so not the world, God's people, called by his name, will humble themselves, one, and pray, two, and seek his face, three, and turn from their wicked ways, four, because four things, he's going to do three things. He's going to hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So if we as believers follow that, this is what God promises in his word, and he's bound by his word. That is a good measuring rod when you're praying for the nation, first of all, is 2 Chronicles 7. Secondly, you have to intercede for the leaders. Whether you like them or not, their souls still need to be saved. Whether you like them or not, you know, we still have to intercede to bring the right leadership into the right positions in the nation. We have to intercede because there are spirits at work, especially Ishtar, also known as Ashtoreth, at work trying to take the highest seat in the land right now. And she announced her homecoming January of 2023 when that golden statue was put atop the New York City Appellate Courthouse. That's when she announced her bid. And so when we recognize these things, we can bring these things before the throne of God and intercede for the high places to come down, for these false gods trying to take dominion, to literally have judgment rendered upon them and their plans destroyed, and for the nation itself to come to the realization that there is a God in heaven that no one can match, that right now we need to win. It's not a man that's going to save America. It's Almighty God. It's Almighty God that has to work through man. God is not a political strategy. He is the strategy.
Well, I agree with you, of course, 100%. And even as you were sharing, I was thinking that there are many examples in history. There are many examples we don't know about, but, you know, there's reason to believe that it was a miracle that the Americans beat the greatest military force on earth, which is the British Army. It should not have happened, but yet God raised up America back in that period. During the Civil War, there was a period in which the North was losing, and there were many who wanted to settle with the South so that we would have been the United States in the North and the Confederate States of America in the South. The United States would have never been a great country had that happened. In more recent history, England was losing to Hitler, and Winston Churchill was not a particularly righteous man, but he called a day of prayer and fasting. I hope I'm saying it right. He might have used a different term. Mm-hmm. And the miracle at Dunkirk, you know, where they were going to get wiped out. If England had fallen, the World War II would have ended differently. Western civilization would have ended as we know it. Can you imagine the world if Hitler had won? You and I would not have probably even been born.
No.
Okay, that was a miracle. We don't think about it too much. You know, I'm old enough to remember I was pretty young, but I can remember 1968 when there were riots at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, where it's going to be this year. Mm-hmm. And we had a president who decided not to run, Lyndon Johnson. His vice president, Hubert Humphrey, got the nomination and was beat by a very unpopular man named Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was as unpopular in his day as Donald Trump is today. I'm talking about certain segments of the population. Yes. And he had lost in 1960. You remember that? Nobody thought he would come back.
No.
So there are parallels to that. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, when Jimmy Carter, when there was such a mess in our country, people prayed at Washington for Jesus. Do you remember that, 1980? Jonathan Cahn was there. It's wonderful to hear the story. I was not there, but something shifted in the heavenlies. So I apologize for inserting a little history lesson.
Oh, it's your podcast, Mr. Steve.
Yeah, but you're my guest and we want to hear what God is saying through you. But I'm just trying, what I try to do with my podcast and my career over these last decades is help people to understand that it's not just one thing or another. It's not one ministry or another. But, you know, to see God working, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And when things look very bleak, God comes through, and we need God to come through right now. So I've shared my thoughts. Now I want you to share yours.
Well, you know, there's another fascinating, there's two fascinating cycles that I'll bring up as well. First of all is Alexander Hamilton. If you look at what happened with Alexander Hamilton, he was set up in an affair, had to make hush money payments for it. It was the first political scandal of its kind in the history of the United States of America, the first scandal of that nature. They then accused him of financial corruption while this is going on. They accuse him of all these things because he knew Aaron Burr was a deep state operative. He knew Aaron Burr had built this political machine of Republicans and Democrats and what he was. Alexander Hamilton was very, we'll say, forward with his mouth. It made him a lot of enemies because he was very bold. He was very aggressive. He said things that really got under people's skin with his mouth. And they tried to set him up. Aaron Burr not only tried to set him up, but they set up one of his sons to try to break him. They actually killed one of his sons. And if you look at, this was birthed in 2009 in the Obama White House. In 2009, in the Obama White House, they had poetry night. A poetry jam. And who would become the lead in the Broadway musical Hamilton was there. And he sang the song that would become the opener for the Broadway musical Hamilton. This is what he did. And in it, it talks about you can become a new man in New York. They're waiting in the wings for you. They're waiting in the wings for you. That song in 2009 in the Obama White House planted the seed for what we just saw happen in July. These things happen because we have a spiritual war going on around us at all times, and it affects things in the natural, right? So we have that going on, first of all. So I'll stop there for a minute in case you want to comment, Mr. Steve, before I go to number two.
No, keep going.
And number two, at the beginning of the year in January, so we all know that King Saul lost his mind. He had his mind for the first part of his kingship. He lost his mind completely and tried to kill David the second part of his kingship. But there was a witch of Endor involved in the middle of all this. In January, on national TV, on Jesse Waters Live, at the hands of a very foolish producer, they had a woman on who was a psychic and operated in witchcraft. And tarot cards were pulled on national TV in January on Donald Trump. And the card that got pulled and put down had to do with death and loss. That was the card on national TV that was pulled in January and put down. Why? Because A, they're trying to operate in forces of darkness, but B, that was pumped out into the nation. That curse, in a way, was put out before the entire nation, right? So there's your kind of your Witch of Endor or your character like that in the middle of all of this. But that happened, and that also helped to water and set into motion what we just saw happen 7 months later.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So help us wrap this up. I want to pray. I want you to pray, but okay. give us advice on how we can pray. You know, we believe that this is a spiritual war. You referred to that a few minutes ago. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
It's not a wrestling match between Democrat and Republican, even against right and left.
No.
There's spiritual warfare going on for our nation. But don't we believe through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have authority over the principalities and powers.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we pray? And then I'd like you to close in prayer, and then I'll come back for a few more words.
Okay. Well, first of all, we have to pray for the protection of those who right now are out there battling forces of darkness that in some ways may be beyond them with understanding spiritual warfare. Like I said, this Ashtoreth Ishtar ancient demon that is the counterpart to Baal, you cannot out-politicize it. You cannot have a political strategy to defeat it. It will wipe the floor with you. In all honesty, this has to be defeated and fought, not only in the courts of heaven, but fought in the realm of the spirit. We have been given the authority of the believer. The church has to rise up and use it because we are the standard. We are meant to bear the standard in this hour that God is raising. God is raising a standard in this nation. He's raising a standard of truth. He's raising a standard of accountability. And we, as the body of Christ, are supposed to bear and carry that standard, not do the work of the serpent and allow serpents at our pulpit to pump out their ideologies into the body of Christ. We are meant to bear this standard. You know, it's time to armor up, you know, shut up when it comes to those things, stand up and do what we're supposed to do. And so when we pray, we not only pray for the protection of the, you know, of these individuals right now, you know, who are out there battling this in a historic way that we've never seen, but we need to pray for the soul of the nation. This is a battle for the soul of this nation. The very essence, the very soul of this nation has been enslaved, put in bondage, and attempted to be put in the tomb of Sodom. That these corrupt individuals that serve the kingdom of darkness so led the nation into in chains. And leaders of these nations willingly and complicitly went along with it. So we have to pray for those chains to break. This is a Lazarus moment for the United States of America, where we are to be called out of the tomb by the voice of God because we have been left for dead. We literally have. The nation has been left for dead right now. By those that want to totally destroy it. So this is something also that we can pray right now because we are facing a Lazarus moment in this nation right now. And we also need to pray that God, his power, his voice is glorified and echoes across the land above all. Above all, this is what we need right now. We need a renewal, which brings a revival into the land. A renewal turns your heart back to the Lord. Our hearts are then turned towards him. Revival can come from that. So the nation needs a renewal, like Ezra called the people to renew their covenant with God. So revival can come during this time.
And now pray, please.
Okay, absolutely. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you. Lord, we praise you for this time, Lord. Father, we praise you that we can gather as the body, as the ecclesia, Father God. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you, asking you to forgive us of our sins, Lord, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Lord, we all fall short of your glory, Father. Lord, we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day, Lord. Father, we come humbly but boldly to the throne of grace. Today, we acknowledge that your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, died for our sins. He was the Passover lamb. He was spotless, and he was the sacrifice to reconcile us back to you, Lord. Father God, that he was beaten, bruised, crushed, and pierced for our sin and iniquities. That he rose again in 3 days, ascended back into heaven. He victoriously rules and reigns forevermore at your right hand, and he is our advocate without ceasing before your throne, Lord, and we honor that before you this day. Father, we just bring what is happening before you, Lord. Nothing takes you by surprise, Father God. You see far beyond. You're the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you can see what we cannot see. And Father, I just ask in Jesus' name that as your people in this time, you would give us the vision, Father God. We need vision right now, Father God. We need the vision to see beyond what is happening, Father God, to see what your plans are, what your purposes are, Father God. Lord, when the enemy attempts to come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him, Father God. And Lord, we are asking as your people, Father God, in Jesus' name, that that standard is raised, Father God. And as that standard is raised, the high places in this nation are torn down. The high places of worship worship, Father God, that have been to the Baals, Father God, and the Ashtoreths, Lord, are torn down in this time, Father. We are asking you to issue judgment against these ancient spirits, Father God, that have recycled and repurposed themselves, Father God, to spew their ideologies to a modern day generation, Lord. And Father, we pray for the highest seats in the land, Lord, that that seat would not only be protected, Father God, Lord, but that you would place in that seat who you have anointed to lead this nation, Father God. This is a battle for the soul of the nation. Lord, this nation has been suffering from a heart condition for a very long time, for decades, Father. And Lord, you are the great physician. You are the righteous judge. You are far above every power, principality, and might. And we are asking you to make the heart of this nation right, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that even in shaking and sifting and hard corrections, Father God, that you are bringing back into place what has been out of joint, what has been out of order, where the nation has been led astray. Father God, we just ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would purge, uproot, and cleanse, Father God, what is happening in Washington, D.C., Father God. Lord, you are the God of law and order. You are the God of truth. You are the righteous judge. And we ask you, Father God, in Jesus' name, to issue judgment in this matter and purge and uproot and cleanse and gut every foul area, Lord, that has been a stench in your nostrils in this nation, Father. We bring this before you, Lord. Father, we come before you in praise and thanksgiving, Father God. Lord, we just bless your holy name, Father. We come to you, Lord, in surrender, knowing that this nation will not live without you, Father God, that we are going through a valley of a shadow of death. We are going through a valley of dry bones, Father God. And help your people to rise up in this time and prophesy to those dry, dead bones that they may live, that they may sing the praises of Almighty God, that they may echo the name of his son, Jesus Christ, across this land, Father. Lord, this land, a covenant was made with you from New York, Lord. Washington from New York City made this covenant with you. And he said that if the United States ever strayed, that the hand of God, the protection of God, would be removed. Father, we are bringing this covenant before you to your remembrance, Lord. And we're asking for it to be renewed as your people today, that this covenant is renewed, it is revived, and the attempted robbery in progress to steal it shall be taken and snatched away from the devourer, Father God, from the fowler, and from every corrupt individual that has come into agreement with such a heinous plot. Father, we just ask you protect your people, Lord, during this time, that according to Ephesians chapter 6, you put your whole and complete armor on us this day, that you put your whole and complete armor, Lord, on the Trump family, Father God. Lord, that every male is willing to fully wear the yoke, Father God, that leaders should be yoked with by you, Lord. Your yoke, Father God, as your oxen are yoked to be incredible tools to work the land, Father God, so let them be yoked fully to be incredible tools, Father God, in your hand to work the land. For the battle is the Lord's, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is not for a man to win. It is for Almighty God to win. And Lord, we acknowledge that before you this day. Father, I just ask you, would bless Mr. Steve and his whole team, Father God, as they go forth, Lord. We just thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for this time. We let your name, Father God, be glorified above all. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer. Be sure to share this with others and post it on social media. If you like this kind of content, be sure to subscribe to the Strang Report and hit the little bell so you're notified every time we're on live, every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next time, God bless you.